Reishis, Masech Tehillim and Daf Nun Hey, and we will begin on Daf Nun Dalet on Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. Our Gemara begins by discussing a issue that specifically related to Hilchos Treifos. Amar Rav Nachman, Kesela, when the Halacha gives the shear, the size of the Sela, we'll speak about in a moment in what area we're referring to, says Rav Nachman that when you have something the size of a Sela, it's treated already like yes in the Sela, as if it's larger. So Rashi says, it's referring to the Halacha that we learned that if a skull is in a house, it's metama tumas oil. However, the halacha is also that if that skull has a hole in it, the Gemara teaches us from Sechta B'chayris, the size of a sela, that skull will not be metama tumas oil. And now the question is, what is the halacha if the hole is exactly the size of a sela? Says Rav Nachman, that when the Mishnah says that if the hole is the size of a sela, what the Mishnah is teaching us is they meant exactly a sela. So if it has a hole the size of a sela, it's like missing more than a sela, and the halacha is that that it will not be metama tumas oil. Taisa says that the issue under discussion here is, as we discussed at the end of the Mishnah in the previous year, that an animal whose skin was gluda was taken off, the halacha is that it's not kosher. But the halacha is that if there is a sela of skin left, which we'll describe later in the shiur, the halacha is that the animal is still kosher. And the question is, what is the halacha if it's exactly the size of a sela? And Rav Nachman is teaching us that it will be treated like it has more than a sela, and the animal will be a kosher animal. Similarly, Ke'eser, we spoke in our Mishnah yesterday that if there's a hole in the Kana, the size of an Iser, the animal is kosher. More than an Iser, it's not kosher. Rav Nachman says that if it has a hole exactly the size of an Iser, it's treated like more than an Iser, and the animal would be treif. So says the Gemara Alma, it's obvious that what is the basis of Rav Nachman's opinions? The basis of Rav Nachman's opinion is that he holds at v'loyat b'chlal. So whenever there's a shear at, it doesn't mean at v'loyat b'chlal, not up to that number. Of course, before we go further, we've mentioned this previously, this is only said in a situation where we're speaking about, as we will be speaking about, what did Chazal mean when they said a shear, a sela or iser or other numbers that we're going to be learning. But when we speak about the Dorim, or we speak about Lashem and Adam, the way people speak, certainly there, the rules that we are speaking about in today's shear would not be applicable. Eisei Rav or Rav Nachman asks Rav or Rav Nachman from the following Mishnah Masech Tekelim. Mishnah says in Masech Tekelim, Chevel Hayotzi Min Amito. We know that in the times of Chazal, as we learned in Masech Tamid Katan, the way the beds were typically constructed was that there was a frame with rope, with three ropes between the frames, and sometimes you could have a rope which on its own is not a keli, and since it's not a keli, it's not makabel tuma, dangling from the bed. So the Mishnah says in Masechta Kelim, Chevel Hayotzi Min Amita, if there's rope dangling from the bed, at chamish tefachim, if the rope is less than 5 tefachim long, so it really serves no purpose, and therefore since it serves no purpose, the halacha is that it's tahor, that it's not makabel tuma. My laugh. Shouldn't we explain, asked the Gemara on Rav Nachman, that when it's a chamisha, that when it's exactly 5 tefachim long, kilamata, it should be treated as if it's less than 5 tefachim. But that would mean that we hold ad the ad bechlal, that five tefachim long rope is treated in less than five tefachim. Not like what Rav Nachman said. Rav Nachman says ad the loy ad bechlal. Says my loy. That's not the way to understand that Mishnah. On the contrary, chamisha klamala, that if the rope is exactly five tefachim long, then the halacha is that it's treated as if it's longer than five tefachim, and it is mekabel tuma, because as we're going to learn in a moment, something that's a rope that's already five tefachim long does serve a purpose. Tashma. So the Mishnah, Gemara continues quoting that Mishnah. Mechamisha v'asara, if the rope is between five and ten tefachim long, tame. Because when the rope is between five and ten tefachim long, it has a purpose. What? So Rashi says, what was the purpose? That when they used to bring a carbon Pesach, they used to tie the animal to the bed, and you need a rope that's between 5 and 10 tefachim long to tie to the bed. Why would they tie the carbon Pesach to the bed? So Posh Pshat is because it's a Zecha L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. We all remember that Klai Yisrael tied the animals to the bed in preparation for the first Karm Pesach in Mitzrayim. Others say that has nothing to do with a remembrance for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but when they wanted to have the bed, the animal available, and not be concerned that the animal is going to run away or go into other people's homes, they would tie the animal to the bed. That's one approach in the Rishonim, what they would do with a rope tied to the bed, and would have to be between 5 and 10 tefachim long. Others say that there was no, other Rishonim say that that they tied the animals to the bed was strictly in Mitzrayim. They didn't do that in future generations. So what is the point of this rope? If they need to move the bed anywhere, they want to transport the bed from one room to another room, or they want to take the bed, because as we know, the bed itself can be makabel tuma, so if they want to take the bed to the mikveh to be matar the bed, so the halacha would be that they would need to put the bed, they would need to have a way to drag the bed. So the way, what they did was that they carried it, they had this rope tangling, but it had to be a rope that was between 5 and 10 tefachim long. My lav, again suggests the Gemara, my lav, shouldn't we treat a rope that's exactly 10 kilometer, that it's going to still be makabel tuma? So the Gemara, that's not the way to understand it. Loi, asar kilometer. Once it's 10, because ad v'loi ad b'chlal, and once it's 10 tefachim long, then it's treated like a rope that's too long. Interesting question that the Paiskim discuss, and that is, when you'll have a rope that's more than 10 tefachim long, you'll have a rope that's 12 tefachim long, for example, what will be the halacha? Will the halacha be that entire rope, since it's too long to really be useful, so it's not makabel tuma? Or will the halacha be that the first 10 tefachim of that rope will be makabel tuma, because as we just finished explaining, it certainly can serve a purpose. It's the extra two tefachim that are just too long that will not be makabel tuma. So says the Gemara, asara kilamala, because we say ad v'loy ad b'chlal, the halacha is that it's going to be considered already too long to be makabel tuma. So the Gemara continues to challenge Rav Nachman from another Mishnah Masechta Kelim. In fact, it's interesting to point out that the Mefarshim ask that this Mishnah Masechta Kelim that we're about to quote is a Mishnah in Perek Beis of Masechta Kelim. And the Mishnah we just finished quoting in Masechta Kelim is a Mishnah in Perek Yotes. And they ask that shouldn't have the Gemara ask this question first. And therefore they explain that the first Rav Nachman said his rule that ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Rava, hearing that rule, didn't agree with, had a challenge to that rule from the Gemara, from the Mishnah we just quoted from Perek Yotes. Rav Nachman, Rava, however, was not bothered with the question that the Gemara is going to pose from the Mishnah in Perek Beis, and therefore that isn't the question that Rava asked that we're about to learn. The question that we're about to learn now, the Gemara is asking, not Rava, and now the question is, why wasn't Rava troubled with this? So one pshat, sort of simple pshat, is we're going to see that although there's a question, how do we understand pshat in this Mishnah in Perek Beis on Masechta Kelim? There's a brisa that clearly gives us indication what the right pshat in that Mishnah is. And therefore, Rava was well aware of that brisa. And since Rava was well aware of that brisa, he knew what pshat in the brisa is, in the Mishnah there is, and didn't see any reason to ask questions on that brisa. That's one approach that I saw. Another approach is that Rava specifically asked from the Mishnah that we just learned, because in the Mishnah we just learned, we have, by saying ad v'loy ad b'chlau, saying ad v'ad b'chlau, we end up with contradictory approaches, if it's going to be tamei or tar. And Rava wanted to point out that difficulty that arises from learning pshat that way. So the Mishnah in Masechta Kelim discusses a halacha that we're very familiar with. And that is that we know kli cheres cannot be makabel, if they become tamei, there's no way of taking them to the mikveh and making them tahor. The only way that they become tahor is shvirosen zutarosen. If you break them, that's how they become tahor. The Mishnah discusses there different kli cheres, different size kli cheres. At what point are they considered? At what point could they be considered kelim? At what point are they no longer considered kelim? So the Mishnah says, Hadakan should be kli cheres, the smallest kli cheres, Hain v'kakariseyim, they and their v'kakariseyim, the dafneseyim, their when their hole or the battens or the walls, if yoshven shloim smachim, if they could stand without any outside support, shiurim, they're still considered a keli to be makabel toma, if they can hold the mount of kedei sichas cotton, the mount to shmir on a cotton. Machlokes Rishonim, what does kedei sichas cotton mean? Some Rishonim say kedei sichas cotton mean the aver, just the finger of a cotton, whereas others say kedei sichas cotton means the entire cotton. Furthermore, a very fundamental Machlokes Rishonim, when we speak about this keli, that if it still has the size of kedei sichas cotton, it's a keli, what do you have to be meyachid the keli? Do you have to designate that the keli should still be useful? Some Rishonim say that it doesn't have to be designated, as long as it has these characteristics, it's still going to be considered a keli. Taisha says that it has to be miyochid. It has to be designated that you still want to use it as a keli. There's some Rishonim that take a very interesting approach. They differentiate between a keli that has a hole and a keli that was broken. If a keli has a hole and it still has this use, then the halacha is that it's makabel tuma. If it was a keli, even without yichid, even without designation, if it was broken, then designation would be required. Furthermore, as we mentioned earlier, once the keli was broken, even if it has the shiurim, the Rishonim explained that the keli is considered a broken keli, and it's not, and the tumah that it has is no longer there. The entire issue on the discussion here now is it going to be considered a keli in the future that now if it gets exposed to tumah again, it will be makabel tumah? Other Rishonim, however, disagree, and that may be the connection of the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, that if you are miyachidem, then not only are they makabel tumah, but they're even the old tumah might remain. Va'adloy. So the halacha is that when is this the shear that a keli that is this size is going to be makabel tumah if it could hold this much oil, is if the keli originally held a loy, my lack. So shouldn't we say loy kilmata, that a loy, if it carried a loy, it means up to a loy, and it will be treated like a keli that's holding less than a loy. So isn't that a proof to add the chlal? And as the Chronim explained, why would the Gemara make this assumption? So the Chronim explained, because when Chazal give a shir, they try to be clear. They don't want to be ambiguous. So if they were going to say ad loy, but it doesn't really mean up to loy, it means a little less than a loy, they should have said that. The fact that they said this number is clearly an indication, they meant the full loy. So the Gemara loy, loy kilamala. Once it's the size of a loy, it's already considered like a large keli with a shurim change. What are the shurim? So the Gemara quotes the next part of the Mishnah. Tashma, meloy vatsa, if it's from the size of a loy, if the keli originally held anywhere between a loy and a sa, bervius. It has to now hold a revius for it to still be considered a keli. Myla, again, the Gemara assumes, sa, that is, if it holds a saw, it's kilmata. And we say, ad v'ad b'chlal. Not like Rav Nachman who said, ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Says the Gemara, loy, that's not the way to understand. Rather, saw kilmala. Once it's a saw, it's already treated like a larger keli that have different shurim that we're going to see in a moment. And as the Achronim continue to explain, as we've been explaining, what the Gemara here is saying, actually, is that the basis for all of these questions is because Chazal were typically clear in what they meant. So if they said a saw or they said a loy, did they mean a whole loy? The answer is, on one hand you could say that's what they meant, but on the other hand you could say that the focus is not on the saw and on the loy. You could say that the focus is on the revius, and the revius indeed remains a full revius. Toshma. So the Gemara continues from that Mishnah. It says, Msaw at for sosayim. If the original keli held from a saw to a sosayim, the shear is chatziloy. My lot, again, suggests the Gemara that sosayim, that if it's a keli that held even a sosayim, it's treated like a keli that holds the shear of saw to sosayim, that the new keli only has to hold the chatziloy. So the Gemara loy, again, and it's a proof that ad vad b'chlal, so the Gemara loy. Once it holds sosayim, it's kilmalmala. So it's very interesting, there's a mashah. The Mashah says that he connects this Gemara to Hilchos Chanukah. We all remember the famous question of the Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef asked, what was the nes in the first night of Chanukah? First night of Chanukah, they had enough oil. So he answers, there's a question, you know, everybody's focused, he says, on the oil becoming tameh. What about the menorah, that the menorah became tameh? Nobody seems to be focused on that issue. So he says the answer is, the reason that the menorah they were concerned about, because they broke the menorah, and as we've been discussing, a broken menorah, a broken keli is not makabel tumah. But we're also learning, says the Mashah, that if the broken keli now is used again it can be makabel tumah. So the question is, they broke the menorah is not makabel tumah anymore, but now they're using the menorah again, and they were still tameh, so shouldn't the menorah become tameh? The answer is, as we're learning now, the menorah originally held a large amount of oil, it was broken, and it was broken to the degree that it didn't even hold a chatziloy. And we just learned in our Gemara that if it doesn't hold a chatziloy, then it won't be considered a keli again. But in the nights of the winter, when Chanukah is, Chaf Hei Teves, when the nights are very long, you need a half a log of oil for the oil to burn all night. So that was the nice. They didn't put in a half a log of oil, because if it would have held a half a log, it would be makabel tumah, and yet it burnt all night. Ask them about Tanya, doesn't the Braisa clearly say loy klamata, saw klamata, so sign klamata? So this Braisa is clearly an indication of ad. And because of this question,
the Gemara changes its entire attitude to this discussion. Pasam l'chumra, we, therefore the Gemara says, we always go l'chumra. Dam revu am Rav Yochan, koshu recham l'hachmer. The issue, if we say, ad v'chlal, ad v'loy ad v'chlal, that isn't the subject. Rather, the issue is, what is l'chumra, when we're dealing with a deraisa? If it's ad v'ad v'chlal of the chumra, then we'll say ad v'ad v'chlal. Otherwise, it'll be ad v'loy ad v'chlal. The only time we're makel is chutz m'grishel k'samim. The halacha is that if a woman finds dam, which is smaller than the size of a gris, typically said about the size of a dime, and she did not feel that dam leaving her body, the halacha is we're makel. My chalak is rishonim if that's only found on a piece of material, the gris, or if the halacha is even if it's found on her body herself. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us that since the entire concept of gris is only a drabonim, because she did not feel the submission, so since she did not feel the submission, we're midaraisa, we could take a more lenient approach. But whenever we deal with a drabonim, whenever we deal with a deraisa, we have to be machma. In fact, the Paiskim go on to say a number of interesting points. They say that this is not only regarding the issue of ad v'ad b'chlal. This is in every area we say this concept that whenever we're dealing with a deraisa, we have to be machma. There's also a question that I saw that the Paiskim discuss, and that is, what does it mean that whenever it's a deraisa, we're machma? Doesn't mean that we're machmer when we're dealing with a deraisa, even if the issue being discussed was said by the Rabbonon, or is the way to understand that we're maker, that it depends who's saying the din. If the din was being said by Tanoim, then we should be machmer. If the din is being said by Meroim, even though it's a subject that is a deraisa to the subject, we could be more lenient. I think most places can hold that whenever it's a deraisa to the subject, it makes no difference who says it, we have to take a stricter approach. Furthermore, the Pipe Davni Nezer makes the point that when Al Gemara is saying that we have this issue, Ad Chal, Ad Lo Ad Chal, and the Gemara is saying that we go to Chumra, it's not to be understood that since we have a Shaila, so therefore we should be Machmer, but rather the proper way of understanding the Gemara, says Davni Nezer, is that the way Chazal established the Shurim. The way Chazal established the Shurim were that when we're dealing with a Daraisa, we are, the Shir is a Shir whichever is L'chumra. One more point, however the Pais can say, that when we're dealing with Dine Mominus, when there's a question of a financial, so there we can't point to Chumra Kula. Because whenever you're typically dealing with Dina Mumnus, you're dealing with two individuals. And what's a chumra for one individual is a kula for the other individual. And there we follow the rule of Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya, not Ad B'chlal or Ad B'loy Ad B'chlal. And says the Gemara Deikonami. And this pshat, says the Gemara, the correct pshat, the Tanai Lai Dehi, Chamisha Kamala, when it's five tfachim, going back to the Braisa regarding the bed that we spoke about this year, so when it's five tefachim, we treat it like it's above five tefachim, and therefore the rope will be tamei. When it's a sara, we treat it like less. Aren't these two rulings contradictory? The answer is they're not contradictory, because we're always going l'chum. So the Mishnah taught us that nitala tchol, if the spleen was removed, the halacha is the animal still kosher. Amar Rav Avir Mishmei Derava. However, lo shana al nita. This halacha is only if the spleen was removed. Avon nikef, but if it was punctured, then the animal would be a trefa. Because, as the Rishonim explained, it causes pain to the body, it weakens the animal, and that's how the animal becomes trefa. Other mefarshim I saw say that when it has this puncture, the puncture could cause the puncture to go further into the body, and since it could go further into the body, that's why the halacha is that it's a treif.
master of Yosef Bar Avin, Vitamer of Yosef Zvida, the law is as follows. There's one shech, a mother, an animal, and in the animal there's a fetus. The law is that the animal is kosher. How says the Gemara, we're going to learn it, if somebody took off, let's say, a hand from the uber in the mother's womb, and now you shech the mother, muta b'achila. But if you shecht it, if you took off minatcholim minatcholayis, if you took off part of the spleen or the kidney, the halacha is asa b'achila. You're not allowed to eat that spleen or kidney. Ha behema gufa, the animal itself would be kosher. It seems from here that even though we're referring to a situation that part of the spleen was cut off, which if it's only part, it's certainly in the category of nikef, not nital, and yet says to Gemara that it's that part may not be eaten, but the rest of the fetus would be eaten. Now the halacha is that even though, as we're saying, you're allowed to eat the fetus in the mother's womb, you're only allowed to eat the fetus in the mother's womb is if the animal is not a treifa. But when the animal becomes a treifa, then you can't eat any of it, any of the fetus. Here it seems to say that even though we have a situation of nikev, that the chol seems to have been punctured, and we still can eat from the animal. Answer the Gemara, that's not the way to understand that Gemara. Actually, who adin dafil behem nam yisila? The entire animal may not be eaten. So if the entire animal may not be eaten, why does the Gemara just focus on the part that was removed from the spleen? Answer the Gemara, either the Tana Reisha muta b'achila, since when we spoke about the Reisha, he wanted to teach us that not only may the fetus be eaten, but even the hand, the detached part, may be eaten. So that's why in the Sefer, we use the similar word, asa b'achila, but the truth is it's not only the part that was detached that's asur, but the entire fetus is asur. The reason the entire fetus is asur is we have a situation of nital atchol. And since it's nital atchol, the halacha is that it's a treifa. V'bayisema, another answer could be given, is that our assumption in this Gemara was that a cut spleen, a part of the spleen was cut, it has the same halacha as if it was punctured. So the Gemara, that isn't necessarily the case. Nikav l'chud v'nit v'nechtak l'chud. A puncture, given the explanations that we've given earlier, it causes pain, or it could cause spreading, is more of a concern that part of it was cut. And here, since it was cut, not punctured, we take a more lenient approach. We learned in the Mishnah, the nitlo akloyus, if the kidneys were removed, the halach is the animal remains kosher. Said the Gemara, Amarok, Rapat Mishmei the Rav, Loks of a Koya Achas, if one of the kidneys becomes diseased, the halach is that the animal is treifa. Amri B'Marovit, so they explained in Eretz Yisrael when they speak about a diseased kidney, for who the mata was husa, it's only considered diseased if l'makom charitz. In the kidney, there's like a place where there's a indentation, a furrow in the center of the kidney, where you have various tubes attached, and the disease has to go to that place. Machloikus v'shoinim, if it has to go just touch it, or does it have to go deep into the furrow? Says the Gemara, v'heichi makom charitz, exactly where is this makom charitz? The chivri de tusi mosna, is like a white coating under the animal's uterus and different blood vessels, under the loins, and that's and it goes into the cavity of the kidney. Aram Nechunya, Shotene L'kula Trefoy de Merova, I asked all the treif experts in Eretz Yisrael, and as I saw
the Sherman Yonan Balocha points out that already in the time of Chazal, there were Rabbanim who were experts in different fields of Halacha. And apparently these people were the experts in Hilchus Treifus. Barmali, Hilchus Karachas Bapapa, the Halacha is like Rachas Bapapa, that a diseased kidney is a Treifa. The less Hilchus Karavavira, but we don't follow the opinion of Rav Avira, who said that a punctured spleen is a Treifa. Continues the Gemara. When we speak about Rav Avira's Halacha, Loy Amarn El Bekulshe. Only there's a thinner part and a thicker part in the spleen. So even though we don't agree with Rav Avira, and therefore, if there's a puncture in the thinner part of the spleen, the animal remains kosher. Avo besumcha, if it's punctured in the thicker part, it would be a treifa. Vi ishtayboi ka'ovidiner zov, if it has left over the thickness that of a dinner, then the halacha is the animal's kosher. But as the Paiskim will say, we don't know how to measure exactly this amount, and therefore the halacha is, if the spleen has a puncture, the halacha is that it's kosher. It's an interesting part that I saw from Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that the Rajba says that, as our Gemara just said, you have to have the thickness of a dinner left over. And the Gemara uses the words ishtayr. So he says, what does the word ishtayr mean, says the Rajva? That it's the minor part. Most of the spleen is still left over. So he says, from here we see that under normal circumstances, the word shrayim means a smaller part. Only in certain parts where does the Torah use the word shrayim, even though it quantity-wise it may be larger. Says the Gemara, Ami Marov, Kala Paisel Bereya, whatever is considered disqualification in the lungs that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, is Kasha B'Kolya, would be Kasha B'Kolya, Shrei Nekev, because as we learned, a puncture is Paisel Bereya, would disqualify a lung, the Kasha B'Kolya, but as we learned, a punctured kidney, we never saw that a punctured kidney to be Treifa. The Koshke, and the Gemara makes the point further, that Hecha, the Kosha B'Reya, if something is not considered an issue by the Reya, it's Kosha B'Kolya, it's going to be Kosher by the kidney. Maskler of Tenchuma, B'Kololahu, is this a hard and fast rule? V'Rei Mugla, if there's some pus, the Kosha B'Reya, that the halacha is that the, if there's pus in the lung, the animal is not necessarily Treifa, Upasal Bakulya. But if there's pus in the kidney, it is Treifa. Very main zakim. Furthermore, says the Gemara, clear water, Sherem Hakva Hakha. Rashi says that he doesn't understand what the Gemara is trying to point out from this last question, this last statement about the clear water. That isn't the question. The question is from the pus. Elam Ravashi, Treifus Komadams Ladadi, you're trying to compare Hilchus Treifus, Ain Aimer Betreifus Zudan Muzu. We can't say in Hilchus Treifus, we can't compare different organs. Because as we know, Shrei Chotch Mikan Umesa, Chotch Mikan Vechoisa. If you cut the animal by the neck, we know that the animal will be not able to survive. And if it has such a cut, the animal is considered a Treifa. If you cut it by the shoulder, it's fine. Or other Rishonim explain, a halacha that we've discussed, and will discuss, if there's a cut on the leg of the animal, in certain places, if the cut is by the tsumas hagidin, the halacha is that the animal is treif. A cut on another part of the leg, the animal is kosher. Shrei chot mikan umesa, chot mikan fechaisa. So therefore, you can't bring a raya from the lungs to the kidney, or vice versa. Furthermore, says the Gemara, that when we said
that Mayim Zakin is not is kosher, Loyamar El Dzili, only when they're clear. Machlokas Rishonim, what does clear mean? Some Rishonim say that clear means that it's just clear, but it doesn't have to be white. Other Rishonim say it has to be only it has to look like water, and therefore even if it's colored, even though it's clear, it would already be a problem. Avla chiri, if they're cloudy, it would be treifa. V'chitzili nami, and even if the water is clear, lo yamar ad lo yisriach, if they aren't foul smelling. Avla sriach, if they're starting to be foul, even if they're clear, the halacha would be treifa. Hakol yishek tina, the mishnah, the halacha is that if the koya shrinks, the halacha is that it's treifa. Bedaka, if it's a small animal, it's treif, unless we have the shear of a kapol, the shear of a bean. The gasa, if it's a large animal, at kanova beinanis. It has to be the size of an average grape. And I saw a beautiful pshat in the Mefarshim in this Gemara. He says, they explain, if you look at the kidney of a large animal versus the kidney of a small animal, the kidney of a large animal is much bigger than the kidney of a small animal. Yet in our Gemara, when the Gemara is trying to say how much has to be left over, the ratio isn't the same. And if you think about the ratio of a bean to the kidney of a small animal versus the ratio of a grape to the kidney of a large animal, it's not the same ratio. So explains the Maram Shit. From here we see it has nothing to do with the actual size. The point is, how much of a kidney does the animal have to have left to be able to survive? And Chazal teach us that if the animal has a kidney, a small animal has to have a kidney the size of a bean to be able to survive, and a large animal has to have a kidney the size of a grape to survive. It has nothing to do with ratios or to demand that it actually shrivel. Which opens up another interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. What will be the halacha if it has such a small kidney, because that's the way it was born, with a very small kidney? So most Paiskim seem to say that then we could be perhaps more lenient. The halacha here is shektina, that it became small. Our Gemara is also teaching us that the halacha is that a kidney, if the animal doesn't have a kidney, it's kosher. The halacha, says the Meiri, is only in a case similar to what we just said, if the animal was born without kidneys. But if the animal lost the kidneys due to illness or due to being removed, then the animal will be treif. The Rambam seems to disagree. The Rambam sees that even if the kidneys were removed after birth, the animal is still kosher. The Shach says there's a difference how the kidneys were removed. If they were delicately removed through a surgical procedure, then the animal would be kosher. Otherwise, it perhaps would be treif. We'll just quickly read the next words in the parentheses. Nitalechi atechten. Amrav Zer, loish, that if the jaw was removed, the halacha is that the animal is still kosher. Says the Gemara, Amrav Zer, loish al shichal lelichyos, aydei lit of amra. It could still be fed either lit and amra, a different ways of force feeding the animal. Halacha means that you put the food in not that deep, and the animal could still regurgitate that food. Hamra is putting it in so deep that it couldn't expel the food. Avo, if the animal, any yachalichlis, they eat them hamra, there's no way of feeding the animal, then the animal would actually be a treifa, because it obviously can't survive. The reason this Gemara is in parentheses, explained the Mefarshim, is because it's only not really part of the actual Gemara. It was said by the Goyim, and that's why it wasn't put actually into the Gemara. although there's a question because it was said by the Ga'olim, the words Amr Rav Zeira was an Amira, he wasn't one of the Ga'olim. The Mishnah spoke about Nital Ha'im Shlo, if the uterus was removed, Tana, he Ha'im, he Tapachas, he Shafuchas. All of these refer to the same area, the uterus. The Cherusa B'dei Shmayim, the Mishnah said that if the animal shriveled, if the lung shriveled, because B'dei Shmayim, the halacha is that it's kosher. Tana, Rabbanan, Eza Cherusa, what is the definition of Cherusa? Kol Shetzomka Reishala. If the lung shriveled because of fright. Machlokes Harishonim, what happened if only part of the lung shrunk? Is that already in the category of Cherusa? Or does it have to have the entire lung shrink that it should be a Cherusa? And the halacha teaches us the brisa. Is B'dei Shmayim, if it shrunk because of something happened, B'dei Shmayim, thunder, lightning, it's kosher. B'dei Adam, but if it shrunk because of something that caused by people, a person yelled and frightened the animal, it's treifa. But Shimon Omer, Melaz Omer, after they call a breeze. Even if it was by an animal, the halacha is The question, however, immediately poses the Gemara. What does that mean? Ibailuhu. How are we to understand what Rav Shimon ben Elazar just said? Ibailuhu, Rav Shimon ben Elazar reisha koilu kula, and he's going to consider b'day, if it's frightened by animals, then it has the same din as it's frightened in Shemayim, and we could be lenient. Aya sefer koi, well, a chumra, that it was frightened by animals, it's like b'day Adam, and the halacha is that it's treifa. Tashma, the Tanya, Chedrusa, B'dei Adam treifa, Rishim Elazar Omer, after they call a breeze. So clearly Rishim Elazar says that B'dei Behema has the same din as B'dei Adam. Says Gemara, Rabbi Barba Chana of Ka'azul Midbar. He was traveling in the Midbar. Eshkach Hani Dichri the Tzanki Reidu to. He found these rams who had shrunken lungs. Also Shaul ben Midrash, he went from the yeshiva and he asked, how do we examine what the halacha here is? Amalei, b'kaita askel mishkuli chevri, in the summertime bring white basins, because as we're going to see, they wanted to put into the basins water that will remain lukewarm, and therefore using white will keep it that way. Amalina mai kriri, fill it up with cold water, and the white will make sure that they don't get hot. Then chinumei slaves, that's why people wear light-colored clothing in the summer, leave it there for 24 hours. E hadrin barin, if we see that they become healthy again, b'dei shmayim, that's a raya that this was shrunk because of b'dei shmayim and it's kosher. V'loy, otherwise, we have to be concerned that it's a treifa. V'sisa, if this would happen in the winter, aysa mikle shchume, bring dark earthenware, or melina mai pshuri, fill it up with lukewarm water, and again, leave it for 24 hours. Ihadrin bari, if we see that the lungs come back to a healthy state, it's kosher, if you laugh, treifa. There's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim, how to understand what happens here. Does the Gemara mean to say that this test is always an effective test, and wherever the lungs go through this procedure and we see that they get back healthy, the animal's kosher? Or does the Gemara mean that this test is only acceptable when we have a suffix, like in this case where the lungs were found and they couldn't determine if the lungs were shrunken because of the Adam or the Shemayim? That's when we can do the test. But if it would be for sure that we knew that the lungs shrunk because of the Adam, then there is no test. The halacha is that it's treif. A third approach that I saw in the Rishonim is that even if the animal, we know for a fact that the lung shrunk, b'dei shemayim, that doesn't say we still have to go through this evaluation to determine if it's going to get healthy. And if it fails the test, even though we know for sure it was b'dei shemayim, the halacha is that we would have to
consider this animal treif. The Mefarshim also make a number of points. They want to suggest that even though the Gemara here is saying that b'day Adam, if the lung shrinks because b'day Adam, the animal is treif, that's only in a situation where we don't shech the animal immediately after the shrinking. But if they shech the animal right after the shrinking, before it could really cause serious disease, the halacha is that the animal will be kosher. Furthermore, the Pesach was saying, this is the basis for a very important halacha, because our Gemara is saying that any human fright makes the animal treif. So the halacha they say is we should be careful when shechting an animal or bird not to have any other animals or birds there, because the animal or the bird seeing the other animal or bird being slaughtered will certainly frighten it. And our Gemara is teaching us that a frightened animal, a fright could cause that it should become treif. Furthermore, there's a question that the Paiskim want to use. We discussed this issue previously about stunning an animal prior to the Shvita, and a big halakhic issue if it's permitted. And one of the reasons that some Paiskim are machmer is because they say stunning is in the category of charusa b'dei Adam, which the halakh is that charusa b'dei Adam was saying would be treif. Other Paiskim say that it has to be specifically the lungs, not any other part of the animal necessarily. Mefarshim say, from here Al Gemara says there's a difference between fright b'dei Adam and fright b'dei Shemayim. That pshat, what the pasuk says, Yiras Hashem. If the Yira comes because of Hashem, then Tahira, then the animal remains Tahar. In fact, there's a very nice word from Pinchas Mikaretz. He says that the Gemara says, Halavai, that a Yira Shemayim could be k'day Yiras Basvadam. We should fear Hashem like we fear people. So it's a very hard Gemara to understand. Shouldn't our Yira Shemayim be greater than our fear of people? But here we see that fear of people actually is a greater fear and has more of a consequence than fear that comes with a Shemayim. Hagluda, we learned in the Mishnah that if the skin of the animal was removed, the machloek between the Ramei and the Chachamim, if it's kosher or not. Ramei says it is, the Chachamim say it isn't. Tanabon, Hagluda, Ramei a machshir, the Chachamim paisrim. V'kvahed alaz asafra v'yachim and v'goyda, ala gluda, shepsula, that it's treif. Omer, Rishim alazar, Chazba Ramei. Ramei was retracted and he eventually agreed with the Chachamim. Bechlal, the Rishim alazar, polig Ramei begluda. That even according to Rishim alazar, Ramei initially disagreed with the Chachamim and held that a gluda was treif. Asked the Gemara for Tanya, Amar Shimon Lozer, by Nechukur Ameva Chachamel Gluda Shepsula, and he continues saying, If I hate Rabbi Shimon Azhar Yehuda, Abai Sum of Nehra Bikivim Shim Rab Tafin, Al Gluda Shepsula, only as we mentioned earlier, Mishtai Bak Sela, if there's a cell amount of meat left that wasn't affected, it's kosher. So here we seem to say that Ramea originally argued. And here he says, that they never argued. What does Lo'inechaku mean? He certainly originally disagreed. What the Gemara means to say is that he didn't stick to that agreement. He didn't remain with that position. So we just learned, if the skin the size of a cella remains on the animal, it's kosher. Ask the Gemara Hecha, where must that piece of skin be left for the animal still to be kosher? I asked to go the entire length of the spine. In Boilu, so they asked, the Aruch for cotton, what will be the halacha when it's very long and very thin, and it goes along the entire spine, that if you gather all of that into one piece, you'll have the size of a cella. The chimitzaf la havik a cella. Idoma, what was meant was, by Shmuel, you have to have the width of a cella up along the entire spine. Toshma, the parsha of Nenorah Mishmei Shmuel, the Roich of Sela, that has to be the width of a Sela, a Pnei Kol HaShadu Kula along the entire length of the spine. Rabbi B'Chanama, Rashi Prakim. There has to be a Sela-sized piece of skin on each of the main joints of the body, on each of the vertebrae, and on the joints of the leg and thigh, there has to be patches of skin the size of a Sela. Rabbi Lazar ben Atikman, the Shem Rabbi Lazar ben Yanaimer, Makan Tepura. There should be a size of Sela skin on the place of the navel. By Rabbi Yanaimer of Shmuel, Nitl Makam HaShadra. What will be according to Shmuel if the place of the spine was removed? The Kula Kayim. But the rest of the skin is still there. Or Nachtu Makiburo, we just spoke about the navel. There's no navel. The skin covering the base of the navel is removed, but the rest of the skin is on the body is still there. Nitl Rosh HaProkim. Or again, the skin by the Rosh HaProkim is missing, but the rest of the body, Kula Kayim, has the skin. What will be the halacha? The Gemara says Teiku. Amar Rav, continues the Gemara, Kala Ar Kulay, any skin on the body, the size of a Sela, Matzah B'Gluda, creates a situation that the animal is not to be considered a Gluda. Chutz, except, we are based at prices, the skin by the hooves, Rabbi Yochanan Ma'afil are based at prices, Nami Matzah. Even that skin is considered skin. Why does he hold, as we'll see, that the Arabes of prices is different? Because the Arabes of prices is not considered skin, it's considered meat. By the name of Asim Rabbi Yochanan, Arabes of prices, Mashi Yatsa Baguda. While the Allah of yes, skin left in that area, will it prevent the animal from being a treifa? Amlai Matzah. It will be considered that you have the right amount of skin, and the animal is not a treifa. Amlai. So he asked him, "L'matatan Rabbanan, have you not taught us? Elushar Saint of Saran, in certain parts of the body, the skin is like flesh, and the arbe surprises the skin by the hooves is considered like flesh." Amma loy, to which he responded, "Altak Nitani, don't ask me a question for that Mishnah. Shabalosh and Yochid Anishan Aisai. I hold that Mishnah represents only the opinion of a Yochid, and we don't follow that Mishnah." The Tanya. What's the raya? Because the Mishnah says, the raya says, "Hashoyches oilu," if somebody shechts oilu with improper intent. Lahakta kazais or shatach hal yichutz from kaimai pasul vein by karis. It's going to be considered chutz from kaimai that we know has a din of pasul that the animal, the carbon becomes pasul, but there's no chiv karis. Chutz was manoi, it'll be pigul chayavno of karis. So we see that the skin is treated like meat. And that's why the carbon can become possible or pigle. Continues the Braisa. Elezer ben Yaakov ish evelim am Mishim Rav Yaakov. The Kenai of Shim ben Yehudi ish eikus am Mishim Rav Shimon. Ech ar beis haprisis. Vech ar haroi sh'oi l'arach. The skin at the head of a tender calf. Vech ar shatak sa'alya. The skin under the tail. Kol shmer chachomim gavetumma. Or all other hides that Chazal said regarding Hilchus Tumo, Sharisein Kibrasaron, that this skin has a din like flesh, Laharvi Arbeis Apaishis, Chutz Makayim Paslein Bekaris, Chutz Luzmana Pigal Vachayavon Lekaris. So all of these Tanoim hold that the skin are treated like flesh. The Tanakama says that halach is only regarding the skin under the tail, but the skin of the hooves he considers to be actual skin, and that's actually the majority opinion, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan said that when he said that the skin of the Beis HaPrisis is considered skin and not flesh, he's following the majority opinion, and therefore if you had a cell of that skin left over, the animal would remain kosher.